back, way back now.
You can move the mic if you need to.
So, my upbringing, I was born in Los Angeles, where my father was a pastor, and he was also preaching as a child, when I was a child. It was really difficult in the household. Pretty much you could say my household was broken, because he would act one way in the church, and then at home, he was very different. He was very abusive, and he would drink, and my mom, to get away from him and seek refuge, she left him one day that my sister called the cops on him because of his abuse. My mom took that opportunity to leave Los Angeles and seek refuge here in San Diego, where my aunt was staying at the time. So she, you could just vision it. She placed all her kids in one U-Haul, her belongings. I don't know how long it took her to pack, probably like a day or two. Aww. And she just drove down here. So with that, once we got out here, we stopped going to church. And I think that she was too heartbroken to return. And there was things that she was dealing with also. That was really difficult. Once we were here, you know, my mom worked really hard to take care of us on her own. And
how old were you at this point?
I was five. When we came over here. Mm-hmm. But I remember. Mm-hmm. And once we were over here, my mom worked really hard to just take care of us on her own. I mean, she's been so amazing. She's been such a blessing. Mm-hmm. I thank God for her. When we were here, we had a family member who was married into the family, so he wasn't blood. And at that time frame, he was like a father figure to us. Mm-hmm. And one day, at night, mm-hmm. I felt a touch on my breast while I was asleep, and I'm like, what's going on? I was 9 years old, and that's the first time it started. Started molesting me, and that went on for 3 years, and it finally stopped when we moved.
And you were how old at that point?
I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just feeling the courage. Sometimes I would just tell him, like, stop. I didn't understand it. I didn't know why he was doing it. I didn't even know what sex was, you know, and I was a child, and but when we moved, I was like, finally, like, yes, you know, it can stop, and thank God it did. At least physically, that is, because mentally, emotionally, I was in torment for many years to come after that. Because of that, it led me into a really big depression. I never told my family. I never talked about it. And I kept it inside because I felt like nobody was going to believe me. And I thought that I was a victim, that I was dirty. I felt so much shame. And I know a lot of people can relate, a lot of people who have gone through something like that. It's really difficult to even say out loud because sometimes you can't even, you know, think like, oh, this actually happened to me. So I held on to that for quite some time into my teenage years, and because of that, just to cover up the pain, as many of us do, it led me into drinking and smoking, and you know, we often just take those temporary substances just to cover up the pain because we really never want to deal with it. It led me into bad relationships also, toxic relationships. They were also lost, just like I was. It led me into fighting at school, and it led me into being disobedient. But through all of this, I always believed in God, and I always prayed to Him.
That's amazing.
And one day, when I was 18, I had a dream, and God spoke to me, and in that dream, he told me, like, I'm real.
And, amazing, wow.
And I'm just like, wow, like, how can a holy God be possibly talking to me? Like, I'm such a sinner. How can he be even communicating with me?
Mm-hmm.
And later on, I didn't surrender to him then.
Mm-hmm.
And I really should have, looking back.
Yeah.
But God works through us in his perfect timing.
Yeah.
Later on, I had gotten so depressed, by this time I was in my early 20s,
mm-hmm.
that I just didn't want to live anymore.
Yeah.
And again, I held it in, and yeah. in front of people, I was smiling and being myself, but inside I was dying.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt, like I was pretty much dead. Mm-hmm. And the sad part is, in my depression,
mm-hmm.
I prayed to God and I asked him to take my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I didn't want to live anymore.
Yeah.
And I had no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I would beg him
mm-hmm.
every single day for about a month. And that's so sad to just say it, but that's
yeah.
the mindset I was in.
I'm gonna stop you right here, because here I want you to see something, you guys. In her sharing her story, you can see in her body language that she's dealt with a lot of this already, right? She's able to share, and in her eyes there's a sparkle of hope. You can see it rising and rising. When she gets to the suicide, the wanting to take your life part, the body language begins to change. There's this little bit of like anger, maybe like why did I choose that,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of feeling.
Frustration, not understanding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to kind of see that in her kind of, in the look in her eye and in her body language. It's amazing to watch this kind of rise up to what we're going to get to the end of this.
So my sister, my older sister was, she continued going to church. She was a Christian, and one day she came up to me and she told me, like, God spoke to me and he told me what you're dealing with.
Wow.
And what you're going through.
Oh my gosh.
And I looked at her and I'm like, what is she talking about? Like, nobody knows. She doesn't know. What can she possibly say?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her, what are you talking about? And she told me exactly what he told her, and he told her, tell Esme that I have a purpose for her and a future, and tell her not to be feeling the way she's been feeling.
Wow.
And when she told me that, I just broke down, and everything I had bottled up within me
wow.
just came out.
Wow.
I cried for hours and hours and hours, and I'm just like, wow, how amazing. You heard my prayer. You heard my cry. You heard me in my darkest. And even then, you still wanted me. And I mean, God is so amazing that he can work through us. And it's just, I'm like, I'm nobody, you know? Like, how can a holy God do this? And that's the power of God. That's what we see.
Yeah.
And after that, I just remember thinking, like, wow, if you have me here, if you have me on this earth for a purpose, then let your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I started surrendering to God, and I gave my life to him. He gave me more dreams, and in his dreams, he told me that he's coming soon. He told me to prepare myself. He told me, get up and help your sister. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm already helping her.
Yeah.
But just listening to his voice
mm-hmm.
and his whisper, someone who wasn't familiar with the word then, and just having that be revealed
mm-hmm.
To me, nobody can ever tell me that God doesn't exist.
That God doesn't exist, yeah.
He exists, and he is so real, and he's there, and that's my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Surrendering to God has been so amazing. I mean, the healing.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask you, when did you know, because there's that
there's that journey in where you make your decision to choose God, right? And then there's the big, awesome change. There's that when you know that you know that you know you're not turning back, and you're on a journey of wellness and healing, and now it's time for you to share that out.
So when I officially chose, I'm like, okay, I'm surrendering to God. He came to me in a dream, and I was I saw myself alone on a planet, and nobody else was on there, and it was just the way I wanted to be, just isolated, you know, mentally. And I saw his light coming out from the sky, and he started, his light started flowing towards me. Mm-hmm. And I remember I ran from him, as we often do as his children, we run from him, right?
Yeah.
And behind me, there was a shack, and it was three stories, and it was black on the inside, black on the outside. It was falling apart. It was completely abandoned. And I remember I ran in there, and I closed the door. And I remember after I closed the door, I started feeling his different characteristics. Wow. And I started feeling loved and welcomed and not judged, accepted.
Yeah.
I started feeling everything everyone always tells you about God.
Yeah.
And you hear it throughout life. And they say, you know, God is love and this and that. And, but it's like, do you ever really truly know it? Do you ever really receive it? And at that moment, I felt it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow. Like, you love me. And I had closed the door and I was like, what is he going to do? So I just kind of waited. And you know, underneath the doors, there's always a crack. And his light came through that crack and floated in towards me.
Yep.
And
the Holy Spirit can do that.
Yes. And in that, and in that dream, I remember I stepped back and I was so amazed with him doing that. Like, wow, even after I shut the door on you,
yep,
your grace is still chasing me down. And so it's just the way he is, it's just so amazing. And I remember I woke up and I'm like, how long am I going to run from you?
Yeah.
When is it going to be enough?
I want to stop you right there, because I want people to see this. So you guys, sometimes in our journeys, you know, we hit this place, especially if we're coming to Christ and we know Christ and things like that. We make that decision, and like Esme, she came to a place where, you know, that was it. She ran for a little while. But if you could see in her body language, once you hit to that place where you were so grateful, because even though you turned away from him, he still loved you. He still came after you. And this is what he does to us, you guys. Even though we turn our back on him, he still loves us. He still comes to us. He still wants us. The Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us, right?
Amen.
And look how grateful she is.
Yes, I am. I'm so completely grateful. And I remember when I woke up from that, I woke up in tears and I'm like, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't live my life my way.
Yeah.
With my self-righteousness, with me choosing how to live my life. I'm like, if you have a purpose for me, I'm completely surrendering to you. And I don't want... I felt bad because he kept revealing himself to me.
Mm-hmm.
I would hear his voice, and I wasn't even surrendered to him. And I was just like, why me? Why me? And I was like, I'm done. And I just dove in completely. I found a church and I started serving God. I started reading his word, and through his word, he completely brought me back to life. I mean, the healing that came from it. And in the word, it says that his word is alive, and his word is alive. And I'm a testimony to that. And he, I feel like he took it, all of my pain out from the roots.
Yes.
And
tell us a little bit about your church. You said you had a church, and you want to share the name?
Yes. Right now I'm currently at I'm Eternal Ministries. It's a brand new church with Pastor Eric Fajardo, who has been such an amazing light in my life and just spiritually filling and encouraging. And he's just amazing. And God started, you know, working through me. And And that's what he does. He takes everything out, you know. He's like, okay, I'm going to start molding you. And he did, and I let him.
Praise God.
You know, and just being obedient. I'm like, okay, it feels uncomfortable, but you know what? I'm going to allow this to happen because I'm no longer living my life for myself. I'm living it for you. Mm-hmm. And I heard a sermon, and the sermon, they were talking about honoring your parents. And I was like, wow, you know, I have to honor my father. And even though he was how he was, and I hadn't seen him since I was 5. So I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this? And I prayed about it, and I cried about it, and I went to go see him.
I went to go see him.
And I was like, I'm removing the pride. I'm removing the fear. I'm like, I'm not going to pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. That's not the identity that God gave me. Mm-hmm. And I went, and it was the most amazing experience.
Really? That's amazing.
I mean, it was definitely God's plan, and I listened to him, what my father had to say, and he apologized.
Wow.
And I respect him because he was very honest about the way he was.
Yeah.
And he didn't cover it up or hide it.
No.
And I just loved that about him, and I'm like, wow. And now we're building a relationship.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is. Not only that, but that family member who abused me, he ended up getting a stroke. And I went to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
And because I was already surrendered to God, you know, I can't hold that within me, and God was working through me.
Yeah.
And so I was just following the Holy Spirit, go to the hospital, visit him. And he was lying down in the hospital bed. He was in a coma at that moment. He had a stroke on his right, a blood clot. He had a blood clot, and he had a stroke. And my family had left during that time, and the doctor comes in, and he says he's not gonna make it. You have to decide right now whether you are going to pull the plugs or not. And at that moment, I'm like, God, you're setting me up right now. Like, what's going on? You know? And I'm like, why me, God? Out of all the people in the family, I have such a big family. I'm like, out of everybody, it's me who's here at this moment. And I told him, like, I'm not authorized to make that decision. You know? And I put everything aside, and I'm like, you know what? We're going to pray. Mm-hmm. My family came. We prayed over him. God spoke to my heart, and he told me, show him my grace. And I listened to his voice. Mm-hmm. And I did. And in the hospital, I took care of him, and I was making sure he's comfortable. And and it did something to me. It allowed me to truly forgive. Mm-hmm. But it's not just forgiving like from the surface.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt a different level of forgiveness that I didn't know existed. And it also gave me compassion.
Yeah.
Even more so.
Yeah.
And now, like through all of it, God's so amazing, and if he can do it for me, I know he can do it for all of you.
Yeah,
because he has the power to do so.
Yes, you guys, that was incredible. I mean, that is just amazing. That's God. And you know what, we really do need to forgive people, because it's toxic to us. So, but she went even further. She actually cared for this person. I'm sure that did a lot of healing in you. But I want to now kind of change the tone a little bit, and I want to kind of bring it now to what's going on in your life now. What we kind of want to know is, are you single? Are you dating? There's a lot of cute guys out there. What's going on
I'm
with
single.
That? And then
I'm,
what are you wanting to do in the future?
I'm single. I'm not dating. I don't have any kids. I'm just allowing God to work in His perfect timing. Right now, I'm just following Him, and I'm so passionate about ministry. And right now, I'm actually leading women. God has called me to lead women. Mm-hmm. Because of it, God, you know, told me, you need to share your testimony. And I was like, you want me to talk about all of this? And I was like, okay, it was difficult, but I did it. And I told my family what happened. They were all very supportive. I'm like, I'm following God, so I have to tell you guys that I'm going to lead women. And I remember telling God, like, why do you want me to lead women? I'm not married. I don't have any kids. Like, mm-hmm. what's going on? But I was like, you know what? I'm not going to pay attention to any of those mm-hmm. thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go ahead and just move forward. And it's been amazing. So at the church, I am Eternal Ministries. I do a Spanish and English women's group.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's called Flourish in Christ, Women of God. And, I mean, it has really blessed me and blessed the women. I've seen them grow. And when I'm able to share my testimony, they're also able to speak out about their own testimonies. And
yes.
they're open. And they also share about what happened with them. And there's yeah. so much healing that God brings. Mm-hmm. I'm also sharing messages, which is amazing. I'm
yes.
just going out mm-hmm. there and just, you know, no fear. And just, God, give me the courage to go out there and just declare your name. Because of what you've done for me, and I know you can do it for others.
Right.
So for the future, I'm hoping to do some outreach for the community, for the homeless, for orphans and widows as well, just like
That's
the word
incredible.
Says.
Yeah.
And we also want to evangelize. So a lot of people don't go to church, and God's really spoken to me lately, and He's like, if they don't go to church, you need to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the church. The body is the church. So I'm like, okay, let's do
yes.
this.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken with the leaders in the church, and, you know, we're praying about it, getting a game plan to see where God's going to lead us from here. So I'm
That's
very
incredible.
Excited about the future.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you guys, there's a lot of ministers out there that are watching, and I have like over 500 people on this Facebook. Most of them are ministers, pastors, leaders of churches. So, Esme, I'm sure that you are taking on speaking,
yes.
ministering, preaching gigs.
Uh-huh.
If you get asked to preach.
I'm coming.
She's coming. So, yeah, she's down, you guys. If you want her to come into your ministry, trust me, I've heard her speak. And,
oh,
you know, she has, there's
good.
Videos out there if you want to watch those as well. She talked about the church that she goes to. And thank you for the pastor who leads an incredible church and raises up daughters like this girl, daughters in Christ, you know. And thank God for those people that come in that parent you when your parents can't parent at the moment. You know, I had
Amen.
That too. I had some people come into my life when my parents were not able to parent me at the minute. And it didn't take away from my love for my parents. It just helped me to get to the point where I can go back to my parents and love on them. So with that said, Esme, is there anything that you want to say before we end this video?
I do. I just want to say for whoever's listening, whoever has a past, we all do have different lifestyles, and we all have different things that happen to us. But just know and truly know that God is going to use all of that bad for good. And He is. All you got to do is just surrender to Him.
Yeah.
Take that first step of faith. I know it's difficult at first, but just do it. I'm telling you, the journey is amazing. I tell God, I'm sorry, like I really would have wanted to do it sooner if I knew that I would feel like this, on fire with the
yeah.
Holy Spirit. And just know that God loves you, and He's for you, and He has called you, and He has a great purpose in your life. And there is healing for you. All you got to do is just reach out and receive it. Yes.
That is great. That's incredible. Thank you, Esme. I really
thank
appreciate you.
You
coming and being here with us. And we love you. You're welcome to come back. I just want to say to my Facebook family, love you, and thank you for watching. You know, you guys are, we can't do this without people watching and cheering us on. So if you like this video, please like it and share it. Share it with your friends and people on your Facebooks and things. And from a hummingbird group, I love you, ladies. How about we bring Esme to meet with us, maybe in person, and we have an in-person meeting or something,
yes,
you know, instead of online. With that said, you guys, I'm going to peace out. Esme, we always peace out.
Love you guys. Peace.